Well, today we're starting a new series, and the topic of my message today is going to be Sabbath, okay? Sabbath. Does anybody know what Sabbath is? It's the day of rest. I don't think there is a better time to start a series on Sabbath than in December. Because we have so many holidays coming, and instead of kind of relaxing and getting some rest, we are running around more than ever. Amen? I mean, look at your life. Right now, the next thing on your mind is, I got to buy gifts. Do I have enough money? Am I going to use a credit card? Or am I going to, you know, try to be, conservative with my money? What am I going to do? Who am I going to buy for? That person didn't buy it for me last year, so I think I'm going to cancel them off my list. And the subject goes on and on and on. And you know what? I have discovered that in the day that we live in and the technology that we have, they said that life was supposed to get less hectic and more simpler, easier, and we could enjoy life more. We can rest more. However, you know and I know that's not the case. People are running more and more. People are stressed out more and more. And the subject of rest is relevant to us today. Would you agree? So rest is very needed in our life today. Jesus said this, "Come unto me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest." The point of Christianity is rest. Do you remember when Adam was living in the Garden of Eden and with his wife and with all those animals? He was living in rest. Now, Adam did have a job. He was to tend the garden. He was the tree trimmer. Okay? So all you tree trimmers, that's where it started. Okay? When Adam was in the Garden of Eden, he was living in rest. He had a job, but it wasn't the job that would stress him out. Because he would work at his own pace, and he would enjoy life, and he would enjoy his rest as well. After he was kicked out of the Garden of Eden, he also lost his rest. So let's get into the Bible. And today we will actually go through chapter 2 and enter chapter 3. Now, it was told to me, I was kind of rebuked this week, and the person came to me and said, "Nobody's bringing Bibles. You said open Mark chapter 2, and people are like, okay, they're just smiling. So if you have a Bible on your phone, go ahead and open that on your phone. But if you don't have a Bible, can you raise your hand? Ushers will bring you one, because we have Bibles over there. Because we want everyone to know where the Scriptures is. I'm doing a leadership class, and I'm surprised that it takes people a while to find a book. And I'm like, raising Christian leaders here, we got to know the Bible. Mark chapter 2, verse 23. "Now it happened that Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath." Sabbath is day of rest, but it's also the seventh day. What is the seventh day in our calendar right now? It's Saturday. It's Saturday, the last day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week, right? Look at your calendars. If you don't believe me. So this was the Saturday. Jews celebrated their Sabbath on the Saturday. Amen? All right. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And Pharisees said to him, notice in the last chapter, in the last study that we did, Pharisees was always there swarming around Jesus. And what were they doing? Criticizing him. Right? They're like bees. Swarm at you and start biting you. Stinging you a little bit. So verses that we study, they were stinging him, fasting. This time, they just keep following him. And instead of listening, what do they do? They're swarming and criticizing the Son of God. You would think that people would want to listen to God. But no, a lot of people come with an agenda.
And today there's maybe, and I hope there isn't, but there's people who come who want to criticize, to hear something wrong that you say. Okay? And by doing that, you're not receiving what God has spoken in your life. Do you know that Bible says this? Jesus said this. He said, each day has its own worries. So he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Because today there's worries that you have to take care of. Okay? Also, Jesus said this. He said, stop looking to pull out a speck out of your brother's eye. Pull out a beam out of your own eye. So listen to this. The trouble is that God gives you enough energy for one day to deal with the problems of that day for yourself. Now, most people don't like dealing with their own problems. Right? So what do? Instead of focusing on removing all that energy, on removing their own beam, fixing their own marriage, fixing their own relationship, making sure their job is doing good, what do? They spend all that God-given energy. God gave you that energy to deal with yourself. But what do they do? They take that God-given energy and start trying to pick a speck out of the brother's eye. And so they waste all that energy, and the brother doesn't like him, and they are not changed. They're not growing. They're not maturing. That's why religious people were not growing when Jesus was around. The Son of God, the one who they've been waiting for, was there. Imagine walking next to him. And instead of trying to get some of that power from him, God is here. And so they were walking. I mean, imagine this. His wind is blowing his robes and he's walking, Jesus, and you're like right next to him. And instead of listening, instead of trying to receive, they go after him and start criticizing him and start swarming around him like bees to bite him, to sting him. That's what religious people do. And today, we're going to focus and we're actually going to make fun of religious people. Okay, that's what we're going to do. And Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? But Jesus said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry? And he and those who were with him, how he went into the house of God in the day of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave some to those who were with him. And Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for a man, right? And not man for a Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. Keep reading. And he entered the synagogue again on a Sabbath. And a man was there who had a withered hand. His hand was stuck. So they watched him closely, whether Jesus would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, hey, you, step forward.
Me?
Yeah, you. Then he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save a life or to kill. But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger. Whoa, Jesus was angry? He looked at them. With anger, right? You think Jesus is he? No. With Pharisees, he was angry. He looked at them with anger. He said, is it lawful to save a life or to kill? Tell me. I mean, he was probably raising his voice because even Mark recognized, or well, at least what he heard, that Jesus was angry. So his disciples were able to tell Jesus' mood was changed. And when he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by hardness of their heart, he said to the men, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then Pharisee went out and immediately plotted with Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Wow, guys, look at that. Look at this story. Today we're focusing on religious people. But before we go into it, Sabbath was a day that was created by God for rest. Now, what was the fault of religious people? Were they just following what God said to do, right? How do we know that what Jesus did was right? Because God did tell the Jewish nation to honor Sabbath, a day of rest. Now, let's go back to the Bible in Genesis chapter 2. When God worked 6 days, on the seventh day, Bible says He rested. On the seventh day, God finished His work of creation, so He rested from all His work. And God blessed, say blessed, the seventh day and declared it holy. Because it was the day when He rested from all His work and His creation. So, on the seventh day, God rested. He created the heavens and the earth, the man, the animals, all the kingdoms He created, the stars. And He rested. And Adam was given a seventh day to rest. The thing is, when Adam was kicked out, sinned and kicked out of the Garden of Eden, what happened was people stopped observing the seventh day. So they would work 7 days a week, 7 days a week, 7 days a week. Now, if you were rich, you could probably take a few days off. But if you were poor, or you were a servant, or you were a slave, that's where slavery started progressing. You had to work 7 days a week. Imagine a world where there is no weekend. Imagine life going. Some people live for the weekend, right? You heard that. Most people live for the weekend. They hate their jobs. So you see it on Facebook. I can't wait for the weekend. They're saying on the weekend that they can't wait for a weekend. I've seen it, people. I've seen somebody write like on Sunday, I can't wait till I have to go to work again on Monday. I can't wait for another weekend. It's like, why don't you just enjoy this weekend? Right? But imagine the world without the laws of God. We wouldn't have something that's called a Sabbath. Guys, we wouldn't. We would have to work 7 days a week, especially if you were poor, or you were a servant or a slave. You know, atheists like to claim that we have our own morality and it's better than Judeo-Christian morality. But you ask them, do you rest on the weekend? Why do you do it? Well, that's Judeo-Christian principles you're following. Do not murder. Ask atheists, where does your morality come from? Well, I'm just a good person. People naturally come up with a good, you know, rules. No. All of our rules, all the good things that we have in this world are given to us by God, to Moses. And so what happened, people didn't have Sabbath for a while. When Israelites were in slavery in Egypt, they worked 7 days a week. And when Moses led them out of the bondage, God declared to them, the seventh day you take off. 6 day you work, you do your business, but on the seventh day it's blessed and it's holy and it's set apart for God. Do you guys know that there's a blessing that comes by observing the Sabbath? Sabbath is not bad. Do you know that today you are blessed because you are here? Fourth commandment. How many commandments is there? 10 commandments. The fourth commandment is Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember to observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Guys, do you know that you're observing commandment by being here today? You could be working right now. You could get a job on weekend and make extra money for Christmas. But you decided to come here and observe this day. So Sabbath itself is not bad. What religious people did with the Sabbath became bad. Do you want to know how Americans came up with a two-day weekend? Because nowhere in the world you can find a two-day weekend, people. No, it's not normal. Okay? What happens in America? Well, Jewish people celebrated Saturday as the Sabbath. Christians, we celebrate Sunday as Sabbath. So we were, the people were arguing and saying, you know, so which day should we celebrate it? And because we Americans, we like, you know, to relax, we want a long weekend, we just said, let's do two. Saturday and Sunday. You know, nowhere in the world this happens. People, this is awesome. And it comes from our Father, Sabbath. So, in today's story, these Jewish legalists, these Jewish Pharisees, just keep walking around Jesus with all their rules, and they're just watching what can he break so they can catch him and call him a sinner. Really, guys, the reason they do this is to point that he's not holy, he is a sinner. If they can discredit him and say that he is a sinner, they don't have to listen to him. That's what religious people do right now. They come to people and they want to discredit you and show you some sin in your life and say, well, that's a sin. You're working on the Sabbath. Why are your disciples eating, grain on the Sabbath? There was a rule, however, in Jewish law that if you were walking in a field, through the field, and you were hungry, you can take a little bit of grain and eat it, you know. As long as you didn't take, like, combine, you know, and just went through the side and loaded your truck with grain. You know, you could eat a little bit, so that was part of the law. You can do actually that. But they don't look at that. Religious people find something that they could attach themselves to, and they try to make everybody else feel bad about it. So Pharisees basically accusing Jesus in the scripture of breaking the law. Now we know that Jesus didn't sin. He fulfilled the law. So we know he's not breaking the law by having his disciples eat a little bit of grain on Sabbath. We know that he's not breaking the law by healing a man who had a withered hand. But in religious minds, for some reason, they started hating Jesus for doing good. Religious people take what is good in the Bible and they add a whole bunch of rules to it. God did say, no work on the Sabbath. Honor that day. So what religious people do, they said, okay, no work on Sabbath, but we're just going to add 39 rules for you. No, seriously, 39 rules how not to work on Sabbath. Imagine if you had a birthday party, right? And somebody brought you a cake. And somebody brought you a cake and said, well, you can have a birthday party cake, but these are the 39 rules how you eat this birthday cake, okay? It cannot be chocolate. It has to be vanilla. Vanilla. You can't have candles on it. You can't eat it on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. But you can eat it on Wednesday and Friday. And you have to eat this amount, and it has to be cut in a Star of David, you know, and this is how, and a good thing, right? A good thing with a whole bunch of rules became what? A bad thing. You're like, I don't want a cake anymore, right? So what God meant for good, religious people added a whole bunch of rules on it, and it made people oppressed. Sabbath was to make people free and enjoy their day and worship God. Go to synagogue, go to the church, worship God, worship with other people and relax and just enjoy yourself. Take a break emotionally and physically. But with Jewish people, they made it a burden. And I just went on a website and I read how many rules Jewish rabbis added to Sabbath. And I'm going to read them to you. Can I? And they said this. You cannot carry anything on Sabbath. You cannot be burning anything on Sabbath. Extinguishing, finishing, writing, erasing, cooking, washing, sewing, tearing, knitting, untying, shaping, plowing, planting, reaping, harvesting, threshing, winnowing, selecting, sifting, grinding, kneading, combining, spinning, dyeing, like dyeing clothes, chain stitching, warping, weaving, unraveling, building, demolishing, trapping, shearing, slaughtering, skinning, tanning, yeah, smoothing, and marking. You couldn't do that many things on the Sabbath. But there was a cloth or amendment. You can go on water for a longer period of time. If you were on water, you can go longer. But if you were walking, you couldn't go a certain amount of you know. And so they added all these rules. And people, anything they did, they were afraid. You know, you couldn't light a candle on a Sabbath. You had to do it a day before and make a run through the whole thing. You cannot heat up something on a Sabbath. You had to cook it before and then eat it the whole next day. Right? So they took a good thing, a Sabbath, and they made it a religious observant day. And people were in bondage by it. They were worrying about, am I fulfilling Sabbath? Am I doing what is good? Or am I not doing what is good? Religious people just love putting rules on everything. They like putting rules on music. They like putting rules on your intimate relationship with your wife. Right? In Victorian age, people, there's certain things you can do and certain days you can't be with your wife. And yeah, that's what religious people love to do. And Jesus is just not going to tolerate this. Instead of saying, oh, I'm sorry. And notice how religious people work. Can I show you how religious people work? I'm going to show you. They work like bees. They swarm. They find you in a public place. And they don't come to you privately and say, Jesus, can you explain to me why your disciples are doing it? I have a pure heart, pure motive. I want to really know, why do you guys do that? Instead, what they do, they wait till you're in public, like public church meeting or, you know, or something like that. And they come to you and loudly, boldly start declaring, why are you doing this? It's against the Bible. Speaking in tongues, it's against the Bible. You prophesy? Oh no, that's gone already. You got to preach the word, you know? And when we did our top model series, oh my goodness, we had haters, people. People were just telling us, why are you doing this? I'm like, did you hire models? They were saying to us. I'm like, nope, those are our people and from our church, you know? And when we were doing the fight series, remember that season we had where we were going crazy a little, doing all those creative things, and we had a boxing ring over here in the front, and people were fighting, and one guy got knocked out. It was supposed to be a stage fight, you know, stage fighting, and one guy just got carried away a little bit. Man, we had haters. Why do you do that? Can't you preach the Bible? We are preaching the Bible. Amen. Religious people just love finding you somewhere and stinging you. They want to discredit you. Really, they don't do anything themselves. All they do is want to put chains or burdens on you that are hard to carry. When Sabbath is supposed to be a day of joy, rest, family, presence of God. That's what it's supposed to be. They made it to be all about little details. They made it to be all about insignificant things. Like Why are you healing on Sabbath? It's not permitted.
Where does it say that?
It's not listed there. But notice, religious people would come on a spot and they would do this. Well, I'm not healing anybody. Like you can heal anybody, dude. Come on. Like you were able to heal. You just choose not to. Come on. You know? It's like a person who can't swim says, nobody can swim. I don't swim on Sabbath. Yeah, you can't swim. If you did, you would drown. You'd drown on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday if you tried swimming, right? So they would come up with these things like, well, I don't do it, so, you know, it must be illegal. I don't have the power, so why are you healing them? You see how religious people work? Don't become religious, because the people in this world, they don't hate Jesus. They loved Jesus. People of this world hated religious people. And there's a big difference. You can text that. People in this world don't hate Jesus. People in this world hate religious people. Because religion makes them more, gives them more rules to follow. That's why they come to Jesus, because they can't. I have lust issue, let's say a person says. I come to you and you give me a whole bunch of more rules to do. I know I already can't do it. I tried. I wouldn't even come to Jesus if I could do it. I know I got issues. Instead of coming to Jesus and Jesus giving him power, they would become Jesus themselves, and people would be walking carefully around them, scared. Because remember, religious people sting. Right? So instead of making people fear God, religious people made people fear them. Right? And what happened was, people would not fear God. They wouldn't have personal relationship with God. They would be like, what would a Pharisee Isaac say today? What would, you know, Rabbi so-and-so say if I did it? So nobody cares what God does, you know. Listen, let me tell you, young people. You should care less what Pastor Alex says. You should care less what our leaders say in the church. You should first care about what God says. Stop living to please me. I know when you're trying to please me, I don't like it. Because you want me to honor you or somehow, you know, whatever. Don't do that. Try to live and please God. Look at the Bible, and if it says something, then do it. If it doesn't, then use your judgment. Use your wisdom. Amen? Hallelujah. So they take a good thing and add a whole bunch of rules. And that's why in the first century church, there was so much conflict with religious people. Because Jesus came and set people free to enjoy themselves, enjoy their life. And religious people followed behind and tried to put a whole bunch of rules. You have to be circumcised. You have to, you know, observe the Sabbath. You can only eat fish on Friday, you know. And there's a whole bunch of these rules. I heard stories in Jerusalem. I've been in Jerusalem. And you go to certain places and they don't let you in because you have shorts on. You can't come in here if you have shorts. You know, actually by the place, you know where Jesus fed 5,000 people? There's actually a place like that by the Sea of Galilee. And there's a sign. You won't believe this. There's a sign, no picnics. Exactly where Jesus fed 5,000 people. It says, no picnics. Guys, it's crazy. So religious people, even today, they come up with these rules, you know, to just keep people acting holy. But they don't care about your relationship with Jesus. Listen to me. Just because you fast, and a lot of you, I'm so proud of you that you did, doesn't make you more holier than your brother. Stop acting. And let me tell you this, George was right. The more prideful you act, the less spiritual you are. A lot of times when we start growing with God, we, for some reason, there's this religious spirit comes upon us and we start tightening up. You know, and the opposite is true. The more you grow in the relationship with God, the more you loosen up. The more people like you. No, it's true. People loved Jesus. Why? Because he wasn't uptight like religious people were. He was loose. He could laugh. He could talk to anybody. People didn't feel tension with him. There was love and freedom around him. And Pharisees didn't like it. They wanted Jesus to fit their rules. And Jesus wasn't going to have that. Aren't you happy about this? Because now we can actually be free. We can enjoy our Sunday. We can come next week and be in pajamas. Because, hey, you know, we can do it. We're free. We don't do it all the time. And please wash them if you've been wearing them for a long time. A man came to me and said, alcohol is evil. A Christian should never drink an alcohol. And I'll be like, okay. Most churches have alcohol as part of communion. Wine as part of the communion. No, we don't, but a lot of churches do. They have real wine. In the church that I actually, which was a very strict church that I grew up in, we had real wine. And when I was baptized at 18 years old, the first time I tasted wine, you know, I'm like, whoa, this is... Jesus, when he was at the wedding, he turned freaking water into wine, okay? And he was called a drinker and a glutton. Now, let me put this structure around it, context around it, okay? Because some of you will be like 13-year-old and like, hey, Pastor Alex is all about wine. Now, Jesus does respect the rules of the land. You have to be 21 to drink, right? If you are 18 and you're drinking, you're breaking the law. So you're actually being disobedient to God's law as well. Now, if you're 21, you're responsible, and you have a glass of wine or, you know, fruity drink, you know, with your dinner, Jesus is not against that. But if you become drunk and start acting all weird, he is against that, right? So let's just work with the whole context. But notice, it's not illegal. Okay, it's not illegal. Just we got to use wisdom. We've got to follow the laws of the land. Amen. The last thing I want to do is put a whole bunch of rules on you, and you're following them, and you don't know Jesus. That's what I never want to do, is you follow a whole bunch of rules, and you don't know Jesus. You should never do something because I say so, but because you're obedient to God. Take my words as not from me, but as from the Bible. Okay? And let it be a reminder to you what the Bible says. And follow, not me. I didn't say this stuff, people. If I was unchristian, I'd probably be like, yeah, homosexuality is all right. I mean, they were born that way, right? I mean, I'd probably be like everybody, right? But I don't preach my own. I don't preach myself. I preach what the Bible says. If I was unchristian, I would say, hey, go ahead, live before you get married. You know, try it out. Try many partners. I mean, it's pretty cool, right? It feels good. Do it, right? Do it. But I don't preach myself. And I don't follow myself and my own theology because my rules can change. But the Word of God never changes. Listen, young people, when you start to choose a lifelong partner, make sure your partner follows the same code that you are following. Let me give you an example. Building codes, they're different everywhere, right? There are some building codes in Africa would be totally different from the building codes in America. Imagine two builders are following different codes and trying to build one house. How well will that house be built? Someone will try to do asphalt roof, because in America we do asphalt roofing. In Africa they do straw and mud roofing. How do you build a house? So this is what happened. When you marry somebody who's unbeliever, it's like trying to build a house. Are you paying attention? With two different codes. She follows this code, you follow this code. The house will not work. It will fall apart. It's divided. It will not pass that code or this code. And usually, the darkness wins. Usually the darkness wins. You should align to the same code. If you want to build your marriage based on the world code, moral code, because they have their own world code, right? The world. Secular morality. Then build it that way. Don't act all Christian and then build it on the world code. But the results in the world, divorce rate is what? Come on. 50%+. So if you build your marriage on the world's moral code, you will have the results that the world has. Mental illness, at what percentage? All kinds of crazy stuff happening. What percentage? How many people have herpes? You know, how many people... If you do it the world way, how many partners they have before they get married? Then homosexuality is okay too. In the world, morality. Bisexuality, homosexuality, bestiality, whatever you want to name, it's okay. But don't try to build your life on two moral codes. Don't build it. Young people, don't build it. Choose one or the other. And Joshua says in his last chapter, he says, choose blessing or cursing. Choose life or death. Choose. You have a choice today. But there's no guys in church. There's no girls in church to marry. So, you know, guys in church are kind of losers, and the guys out in the world, they're kind of bad boys, you know, and they make you feel good. They don't have any money. I have to pick them up and give them a cell phone and you know, and take them to work because they don't have a driver's license. But they're kind of cool, you know, he makes me feel good. Yeah, and he makes another girl feel good too. Yeah, at the same time sometimes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Because that's the world. You do whatever you can get away with. People, you do in the world whatever you can get away with. But now, I hope that you already made up your mind that for the rest of my life, I am choosing to follow God's zoning laws, God's commandments. And John says, how do you know you are of God? Because you follow His commandments. That's New Testament. And Sabbath is commandment number 4. Now, you're not, as a Christian, especially if you're a new believer, nobody here is going to make you observe, you know, the Sabbath. And how you observe the Sabbath. Nobody. We're not going to do this for you. It's between you and God. Nobody's going to say, every Sunday you have to be here in church. That's between you and God. But this one thing I know, the more you grow with God, the more you want to be in His house. The more you do everything possible to worship with the people of God on Sunday. And see people of God and fellowship with one another. Amen? I know that about me. I can't wait. And even when I'm out of town, ask my wife. Sometimes we visit two churches. So we can see and enjoy two different worship styles. We go to Florida, and if we have an opportunity on Sunday, we don't have to. Really, my work is church on Sunday, right? That's my job. So for me to have a vacation, it's not being in church, right? For me. But on Sunday, we would go to two different churches, you know, just to check out how other people worship. Some of you guys, you always go out of town. And you miss church. If you go out of town, find a church to go to. Find a place to worship. Don't make it going out of town as an excuse not to be in the presence of God. Because God said, honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. What does holy mean? It's not just for yourself. It's separated unto God. If you follow, if both husband and wife follows this moral code, then this moral code says no divorce. This moral code says don't go having sleeping with five of your sisters before you choose six, you know? Don't go doing that. And if you follow it, you'll be blessed. You know, a lot of people come to me on Monday or Tuesday and bring me a tithe. And I don't take it. They bring me a tithe and here, I miss Sunday, so here's a tithe, you know? And I'm like, I don't want it. You come to church and you put it in a bucket. I don't want your money. Because there's a blessing of a tithe, but there's also a blessing of a Sabbath. And if you bring a tithe, but you ignore the Sabbath, you canceled your tithe. And then you'd be mad at God because God is not blessing you. Because you're not following His kingdom, His way of doing things. Am I beating you up too hard? See, I don't think so, because you guys are following this. And if you're not yet following this, you're trying to. You're going towards that. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's go to verse number 25. My next point is Jesus shows that religious people are unbiblical. See, they're saying that they're following the law. But Jesus here in verse 25 shows, hey, you guys are unbiblical. Look at this. But he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry? He and those with him, how he went into the house of God in the day of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave some to those who were with him. Now, so the story, and some of you know this, David is running away from Saul, King Saul. He runs into on a Sabbath, he's running away. But religious people would say, well, you can't run. Somebody's trying to kill me. I have to run. You know, but Sabbath, oh, you can't run so much, David. But notice, the Sabbath, the man was not made for a Sabbath. Sabbath was made for a man, meaning there is exceptions. Jesus, in another story, said, when a sheep falls into the pit or something, wouldn't you pull it out on Sabbath? Come on, just use your common sense. If the house is on fire, if a candle fell and there's still a little fire, wouldn't you? But remember, one of the rules that you couldn't extinguish anything. See how religious, how distorted they got to be. And yes, they maybe meant well, but what they did was they were putting all these rules upon people that they couldn't follow. And so Jesus here shows that David, when he was in need, on the Sabbath, went into the house and ate the showbread, which was illegal. Moses and the law said it was illegal. So did priests sin by giving David bread? What did Jesus say? No. Did they do something wrong? Did David sin? How can that be? Because Jesus said there is exceptions. David and his soldiers didn't sin. And by showing them the scripture, Jesus was saying to the Pharisees, you are unbiblical. Because I have a right, I have an exception. It's my moral right. It's my love that demands me to heal this man. Or to feed a hungry person. Or to warm up the cold. You know, who came up from the cold? On Saturday, you couldn't start a fire for somebody to warm up. Let him freeze to death. Yeah. Legalism makes you unloving. If you're such a Christian and people hate you, You might be a legalist. Just remember, legalism make you unloving. They saw this man, withered hand. They saw a healer who can heal. And they rejected him. They had no compassion. They had no love. All they wanted to do was follow their rules. And Jesus said, I'm not going to have it. I'm going to heal this man. Listen, God wants you to be free. Sabbath, it is a blessed day. And we will cover more on this. But God wants you to be free. Young people, older people, whoever you are, God wants you to live in freedom. Are you getting this? Hallelujah. I used to preach. We had a lady in this church a few years ago. And I would preach and I would walk out the back door, through the back door. I would wait somewhere on the other side just not to see her. Because she would wait for me by the door. And every Sunday she would, and it would get worse and worse. Every Sunday she would find something with my message. And she would just hit me. And she would call other people in the church and start saying, and that's such Pharisee spirit. Start telling people, he's not preaching the Bible. Or he mispronounced the word. Duh. I mispronounced tons of words. You know, and she was just, and I mean, she would be like a demon that was attached to your ankle biter, you know? And you'd be like, you'd want to escape her. And they would, like I said, they would just try to act and they look for a crowd to listen to them. In the middle of nowhere, she would just stand and say, Pastor, you didn't say that word right. And I'd be like, okay, I know, but can you maybe come to my office or at least email me, you know? Don't be yelling in the whole sanctuary that I mispronounced the word, you know? Or your message was not right today. You missed it because in other scripture it says this. You know, there's always that other scripture. I can't preach the whole Bible at once on Sunday, right? You can't sit here, you know, 24 hours. I could, but you wouldn't like it. That's what religious people do. Instead of listening to what God is saying. And so my question is, what is God saying to you today? Are you practicing the Sabbath? The seventh day? Or are you just once in a while churchgoer, worship God person? The rest of the time you're watching football. And there's nothing wrong with watching football, people. But if it's taking your time from sanctifying this day for God, there is something wrong with it. Now, if the Bible doesn't talk about it, you're okay. If the Bible says something about it, then follow what it says. Don't add to it. And that's what Pharisees love to do. They would add things to the Bible.